Cabin Fever by Anne-Marie Kjellberg. Narrated by Bo Cox. Part 2. Forbidden Fruit. October 1968. Otis closed the gate to the wood-burning stove in his workroom. The fire was crackling. He had been granted leave from the congregation so he could write his book about the power of prayer, and he had already spent 5 days alone in the cabin. Sally had moved out as soon as she had realized she was pregnant with James's child. Right before Otis had gone to the North Sea, he had randomly met her by the Royal Theatre, and he had felt something, mostly because you could already tell she was pregnant, even though she was only about 4 months along. They had spoken together, politely and calmly. Sally had told him that she and James had found an apartment on Fredericksburg. Otis congratulated her, and she had sent him a beautiful smile. He was relieved he was not the one who was having a baby. It was that feeling that had filled him that day in the city. And it was that feeling that filled him now when he thought about his and Sally's failed marriage. He was feeling good these days. He was writing, reading the Bible, reading saint biographies, praying, and then returned to writing. Now and again he took a walk on the beach, but he never met anyone. The holiday home area was almost empty at this time of the year. But tonight it came back. The restlessness that he could never really define, but which had once in a while appeared like an unwanted guest during these past months. It was a feeling of emptiness, of not quite being present in himself, but it was so vague and foggy that he could not find the right words for it. He tried asking God for help, but it did not come. The unease became progressively worse. Finally, he went into the fall wind. It was darker than he expected. The moon was new, and the sky was cloudy, and he could see nothing but the yellow windows around him. He had to buy a torch. He walked blindly around his house. The wind hit his face, and it howled against the roofs as if all the demons had come out to play. At the corner of the terrace, he stopped. He could vaguely make out the neighboring cabin. The lights were on. Frederick Gray had come back to Denmark. Weird, Otis thought. It must be much more pleasant for an author to write in New York at this time of the year. He smiled to himself. Of course, he was here too, when he could have stayed in Copenhagen. The next day he worked from 8 to 3:30 in the afternoon. Afterwards, he felt melancholic, and he had to go outside. That usually helped. Today the light above the beach was gloomy, and the waves were gray and harsh with their white foam tips, and he felt worse. Then he saw a shadow along the beach. It was clearly a man, tall, straight back, small hips and broad shoulders. It was not until he was quite close that Otis realized it was his neighbor, Frederick. Frederick had visited the hospital and the cabin often this summer after his scary collapse, and he had helped Otis the night Sally left him. But this summer Frederick had looked tan, and he had worn light clothes. Now he saw a stranger, big city pale and formally dressed, even though his brown hair looked like it had grown longer. Otis did not like this kind of beetle's hair. Frederick's face softened with a smile.
"Oh, it's you, Bay. I couldn't recognize you with all those clothes."
"Likewise, Gray, likewise," Otis said, and noticed that he sounded too affectionate as his priest facade slipped off and was replaced with a big smile. He cleared his throat and tried putting on a proper grimace again.
"What are you doing here at this time of the year?"
Frederick asked. Otis explained,
"Oh, that makes two of us, then,"
Frederick smiled. Otis nodded and could not figure out what to say. Frederick wrote realist crime novels, which were often translated into Norwegian and Swedish. One had even...